Good morning again. Today has been a long time coming for me. I attended service with my sister here, and the Lord gave me a topic or the message for my next presentation. And then when I went to Costa Rica, he told me to give my testimony. But then the question was, I thought you said, then he said, we'll take care of it. Nevertheless, Monday morning around 5 o'clock, I woke up with a pain in my right thigh. I limped around the living room, all through the house, praying, Lord, what's going to happen? You know I'm not ready. Is this going to be here forever? Please. And I just prayed, I don't know, it seems like hours. But finally, he calmed me down and he answered my prayer, because I knew Alice would soon be calling and wanted to know the information for the bulletin. And this was Monday. Allison is always on time. She called me Monday night, and he told me, at this time, give your testimony. So today I will present my testimony as the Lord gave it to me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the amazing grace that saves us, not only from penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin and the soon very presence of sin. Lord, we pray that we will be with, that you will be with us here in Aiken, but also your children throughout the world, Lord. You know every last one of them. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us in a very special way and also an intimate way, that you will speak to our hearts and minds, and that you will instruct us and inspire us as to what you are calling us to do in these last days in preparation for the promised land. This is our prayer this day, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I guess I will start off with when I was first baptized at the age of 12 years old at a Baptist church. Now, as a child, my parents were Methodists, so we went to the Methodist church. My aunt, who lived very close by, she attended the Holiness Church, which was only a block away, and you know how Holiness are. You could sit on your front porch and hear and entertain the sermon. So naturally, as a child, we played church very vigorously. But 20 years later, one Sunday morning, I heard this inner voice saying, come to me, come to me. At first, I didn't know what it was saying, but come to me. Here I stood, three children with a marriage on the rocks. I was in a valley of despair. So that Sunday, as God called me, come to me, I rededicated my life to God. I joined the young adult choir, and I think, can I sing? Anybody stood close to me know that I'm not a singer, but I did it. I became church secretary, taught primary classes, even organized and established the mother's room. I was assistant director of the Baptist Training Union and a member of 4 or 5 committees. My mother was so worn out from babysitting, she told me I need to stay home and take care of my children. And I replied that God promised me that if I would seek him first, that he would take care of the rest. 2 or 3 years later, I organized a Valentine party for the children at the church. I organized it, I funded it, I set it up, I even hosted the party. And guess what? The only children present were the pastor's son, the head deacon's sons, and my three babies. What in the world? Did you notice all those eyes? What I did? Yes, this was indeed an eye-opener. Not an I, but an E-Y-E opening. What am I doing wrong? I asked God as I thought to myself, all this work and no fruit to show for it. I started reading the Bible, and my favorite book was Revelation. I'm a very visual person, and I liked all the drama and all the figures and all the signs that were there. And one night, I had a dream. I dreamed that I came out of my co-worker's house, that we were very close friends, and I came out on her patio, and I looked up, and there in the clouds, Jesus was coming. I mean, I checked him out. His feet were as copper, and the sky around his feet were copper tone, and his hair was white as wool, just as the Bible said it was. And the thought entered my mind, what's going to happen to me? Okay, it's only two things can happen. And in my fear and anxiety, I woke up. Then one night, during Baptist Training Union, we were reading our way through Genesis when a group of three men came into the basement of the church where we were studying. They shared a Bible study with us on Jesus' second coming and invited us to study. I really liked that because I can see the visual, the pictures, the film script. And all of you know from past sermons that I love visual things, but today I did not do any visuals because I know some people are not visual as I am. Most of my brothers and sisters here are very verbal. They like to hear the word. So naturally, they invited us to study. And so I was at the deacon's house that morning, Monday morning, evening, knocking on the door. And he came to the door and he said, I'm sorry, Glory, not having it this week. The next Monday, I was there knocking on the door. I'm sorry, Glory, not having it this week. The third, now, they generally say three strikes you out. That third Monday, the door was open. We had about 10 people studying, but when we got to the Sabbath, we lost about half of the group. Here I learned the importance of prayer, but the unceasing prayer was a new concept for me. My constant prayer was, God, what do you want me to do? You remember that in my dream I was in the house of my coworker? Well, by this time, I was living in this house. I don't have time to tell you that story, but God gave me a house that others thought I would never get. I became a believer. Prayer became more meaningful and not just a ritual. I was learning more about the Bible. All my life, I believed that Noah only had two of each animals in the ark. And Wilhelmina, this is what tells me that this sermon was right on key because you brought in the ark this morning. But not only did he have two, male and female, but he had clean and unclean animals. And he had seven times more of the clean animals than the unclean. That is when God revealed what he wanted me to do. He told me he wanted me to get to know him by getting grounded in his word. In 2 Timothy 4:3-7, let us pause and look at that for a minute. In 2 Timothy 4:3-7, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. I have found the good fight. I have finished the grace. I have kept the faith. Finally, these words are also for us these days in the end time. God wants us to fight a good battle. He wants us to finish the race. We completed our study just before Christmas. I was invited to attend this church, but I was so afraid. My knees were knocking, as they are now. So Christmas Eve, that Friday night, I prayed about it. That same night, you wouldn't believe it, God answered my prayer. He showed me scripture upon scripture in living color of when Jesus and the disciples kept Sabbath. And then he said, so shall ye keep the Sabbath. Boy, I woke up on fire. I was bright as the morning star. I was very happy until that old demon came up behind me and he said, he didn't tell you which one. And I thought about it. Yes, he did. But I rebuked him. And I attended church that Christmas Day, first time setting foot in this church on the Sabbath. The excitement was so great. After many battles with Satan, my family, and the issues of both churches, because, you know, I tried to do both. You know, it's too much religion shouldn't be too much, should it? I can go to church on Saturday and I can go to church on Sunday. But guess what God told me? He said, you cannot serve two masters. You love one and you would hate the other. And guess which master I chose? I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church that fall in February during Valentine's week, where I gave my heart to God on the Christian experience. Then 3 years later, Dale Pollock, you remember him, held an evangelistic meeting here, and the Holy Spirit led me into my second baptism in 1986. Now, and most of you know the math, that was many, many years ago. So, I was baptized for the third time last year in August at the North Philadelphia Seventh-day Adventist Church after an evangelistic crusade. Sisters and brothers, when God speaks to you, you have to react. I rededicated my life to God, to refreshing my stand for him, and I may endure the plans he has for me. Ever since then, God has been opening and closing doors I could only dream about. He sent me just so far this year to Guatemala for 21 days to preach 19 sermons. He sent me to Costa Rica and spent 10 days where we departed at least 12 sermons. God gave me Monday also the heart of my sermon, getting back to the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. He gave me an anagram. I mean, I had to tell me what it was. I had to explain to him. I said, you know that word that each letter stands for something special? So this is the book I learned to live by. This is the book of books that enables one to get to know and to understand our Creator. The book of books that teaches us about prophecy, things that will come to pass, or what will happen in the future days. The book of books that teaches us God's love, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The book that teaches us how to live a God-led life and not just a godly life. The I is for an infinite God who desires for you and for me to be with him throughout eternity. An intimate God that loves us and deals with us personally, face to face. He is our creator. He is our wonderful provider. He is our awesome commander, our awesome liberator. He is our awesome sanctifier. He is our gentle healer. He is our redeemer. He is our all in all. The I is in Bible, B-I-B-L-E, makes it the first person. We are all individuals stumbling through life, trying to find purpose in our life. We fail to realize it is all in him, Jesus. The second B is for bread and belief. It is our bread of life. We should feed upon it daily. It will fill our souls. It will prepare us for Christ's second coming. Our beliefs demonstrate who we are. We can walk the walk and we can talk the talk, but we must also believe. When you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, others will gravitate towards you. When you speak, those who are seeking will listen. One of the reasons we have so many denominations is because of non-belief. From the very first group, the disciples, there were some who did not believe or they doubted, like doubting Thomas. Throughout the Dark Ages and through the Enlightenment, different denominations developed from new knowledge, but they would not get it. They get stuck in a rut. And that reminds me, my very first presentation was I was in school and I had to do a paper, and it was on an educational rut, and my introduction was about Freddy the Frog. Freddy the Frog was stuck in a rut, and he could not get out regardless of how he leaped and jumped and tried to get out that rut. And this is where the church finds itself in. Just as Freddy the Frog, we can get in a rut. Our brothers and sisters in the past, they would not accept new knowledge. They were called Protestants because of their protests against Catholicism. But as new light came into the arena, they, the followers of Christ, the Christians, all they wanted to huddle and remain as status quo, you know. They didn't want anything new, rebuking any new knowledge or new light and not trying the Spirit. God tells us in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, T-R-Y, the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. As a Protestant and a Christian, I embrace our religious heritage by rightly dividing the word according to the Bible. I believe that the just shall live by faith and that salvation is a gift from God. So I'm a Lutheran. I believe a baptism by emergence. So I'm a Baptist. I believe in methodical studying of the Bible. So I am a Methodist. I believe in Christian growth as a walk with God. So I am a Presbyterian. I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, so I'm a Pentecostal. I believe that Jesus is coming again, so I'm an Adventist. I believe that sunset Friday until sunset Saturday is the seventh day Sabbath, so I am a Sabbath keeper. I do not want to be stuck in a rut like Freddy the Frog when Jesus come in all his glory to get his people. By the way, Freddy the Frog made it out of his rut. That 18-wheeler was very convincing. L is for love, life, and live. Live life by loving God and your neighbors. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We must live by every word of God, and we will have abundant life. Abundance is not always in the possession of tangible things, but of joy, peace, love, trust, and temperance. If we have abundance of these, we will live a life led by the Holy Spirit, led by God. E is for evangelism. This is the biggie. Everlasting and eternity. Evangelism is the process of taking the everlasting gospel into the world so that whosoever or everyone who believe may have eternal life. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The disciples were the first evangelists as they took the gospel to the Gentiles. Throughout history, God's faithful chosen has taken the gospel throughout the world. Our Sabbath studies throughout this year have even reiterated evangelism to me. It is too good to keep to yourself. We have the task of taking the message of the three angels throughout the world. Just last week, I was talking to one of my friends in California, and she was telling me about what happened in San Bernardino. So I just started talking about the signs of the times and sharing with her and the desire of when Jesus will return to get his people. And to my, I want to say, I was hurt. I didn't really understand how this could come to pass. But her knowledge of the Bible, and especially what she, quote, supposed to believe, was very limited. True, she's a Sabbath keeper, but has very limited knowledge of the Bible. And I explained to her the events that would take place when Jesus returns for his people. Time is running out. Where do you stand? Hot or cold? Lukewarm won't get it anymore. Either you're going to be hot for him or you're going to be lost. So I prayed with her and I studied with her. But people, we have people in our midst every day. They don't know and they don't understand. It is our job, it is our duty to go out, whether it's in our family or whether it's even a stranger, the least little kindest thing, God will help them to remember it. In Revelation 14:6, starting, I saw another angel in Revelation. This is the key message that we're supposed to have within our hearts to share with others. Revelation 14:6, if you turn there, please, with me. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." And then another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark on of his name." Brothers and sisters, we can read it, we can talk about it, we can preach about it, but it will come to pass. Well, another thing, these people, who are these people? In verse 12, it tells us, here is the patience of the what? Saints. Here are those who do what? And the faith of Jesus. This is what we need to be about. Helping our loved ones to find the way, so that when we all gather together on that sea of glass, we will be with our Heavenly Father throughout eternity. And Paul says in Philippians 3:12-15, Philippians 3:12-15. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, he says, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Sisters and brothers, we have our work cut out for us. You see the signs of the times. As we enter the crossroads of our life, pray that you will continue to work God, do the work that God puts before you. I received a card and a letter from Lola, which I think most of you have done. She is continuing her work, not just here in Aiken, but also in Tennessee. We all have a job to do, and we need to pick up our cross and do that work that He's telling us to do. I have applied for a position at UG Pines. I don't know how the Lord's going to open and close the doors, but I am ready forever, whatever He puts before me. So that according to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:8 states, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also all who have loved His appearing. When I was in Costa Rica last month, my Sheerham family agreed to meet at the Tree of Life. When we get to heaven, if you would like to join us there, please stand and close in prayer. If there is someone in need of prayer, step out in faith and come to His altar. By coming up front, God hears your heart. He knows every last one of us. He knows the crosses that we bear. He knows our all in all. And only thing we have to do is surrender to Him. Let us pray. Father God, Your children await Your soon appearing. For this world is presently Satan's stomping ground. Help us prepare for that day when the first trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will rise up first. And then when that last trumpet sound, those who are still alive to witness Your great advent will be transformed in a twinkle of an eye from this mortal body to our immortal bodies to be with You throughout eternity. We look forward to being in Your midst as we gather at the Tree of Life that has a river flowing through it. We ask that You help us to prepare for that day, Lord, when Jesus comes. And it is in Your precious name, Jesus, we pray. And all together we say, amen.